This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning. I'm Coach Jen from Ocala, Florida.
And I am Jackie Clark, coming to you from Lexington, Kentucky. And you are listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for October 9th, 2014, episode 1016. This episode is brought to you by the Kentucky Equestrian Center. Good morning, horse world.
We have a big show for you.
Clap your hands. I like Thursdays. Stomp your feet.
And now, let's settle in for some great conversation about the United Mountain Horse breeds and the great folks who love them. Trying to find a better way. Welcome back to the show, Jackie. It's nice to hear from you again.
Thank you, guys. I'm so glad to be back. I always look forward to this every month.
Oh, that's just because you get to blow off school.
Exactly. That's my point. I gotta have a break at some point.
How's it going at school at the University of Kentucky? How are things going?
It's going good. It's definitely a little bit more stressful this year just because I have a little bit more going on, but, you know, nothing I can't handle. No, I'm just joking. But it's gone really good. I've got some really great opportunities going on right now, and I just found out the other day that I only have 23 more hours worth of classes left, and I can graduate. 23 hours. Now, okay, like when you start out as a freshman and you see that big number, 120, and you're like, oh my God, I'll never graduate. And then when you go to your advisor and they're like, you only have 23 more hours. And I was like, oh my God. It all became very real, very quickly. So I knew I was getting close, but I didn't know I was that close. So
yeah.
I just, on my days that I just get real stressed out and I'm like, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I think to myself, 23 more hours.
So do you have any really awesome things coming up school-wise that you are very excited about, or something that you go, oh God, I got to do this and I'm dreading it?
Okay. So I'm an RA here on campus, and we do like programs every month. So like these programs a program that I do during spring break is like spring break safety. So I love to do those, and it's kind of more educational, or you can have a program like one of my girls last year wanted to have a Pinterest party. So everybody found a craft on Pinterest, brought their own supplies, and we had like a crafting night. So these programs are more like getting to know everybody, and I am super excited because it's starting to feel like fall here in Kentucky, and fall is one of my favorite times of year. So we are actually going to paint pumpkins. We're not going to carve pumpkins because that's too messy and I don't feel like cleaning that up. So what we're going to do is, you know, like the little small pumpkins that are really, really tiny.
Yeah, the little softball size
Pinterest.
Ones. Yeah.
Yes. And okay, I find everything on Pinterest. So I'm like a Pinterest fanatic. And I found a cute little idea. You just paint little baby pumpkins however you want. So I thought, oh, that would be really fun. You know, that would bring out a lot of people. So I'm really looking forward to that. We're doing that this month. So I can't wait. And you know, I'm also a College of Agriculture ambassador. So definitely, you know, doing all the tours, getting to go to preview nights and promoting UK, you know, I always look forward to doing stuff like that. So I've got a lot of stuff going on. It's just, just me and homework do not get along.
You can't wait till those 23 hours are over then, can you?
Exactly.
Yeah. Now I've got an autumn question for you. This is actually a year round question. Which side of the fence are you on? Do you decorate the barn for holidays or not?
Oh yeah. I decorate. I'm a decorator.
Okay, so what is going to be your decorating theme for the barn this holiday season? We're a little ahead of time. I apologize, folks, but you can't decorate the barn for Halloween because you're going to be at school. But for Christmas time, you'll be there. What is going to be your plan for the barn deco?
I have a tree in my room when I go home, and it's got like Western ornaments on it. So it has like a cow skull, and it'll have like horseshoes and stuff like that. I found all this at Garden Ridge one year, went into Garden Ridge, spent $108 alone on Christmas ornaments, if that tells you anything.
You've got a problem, and so, you need to seek professional help.
Yes, but I will admit this problem. I have no problem admitting. So I'm already past that first step, is what my mom tells me.
Yeah. Do you have stockings with the horses' names on them?
If you remember back to the very, very first episode that we did, which was a long time ago, I feel like, but not really. My first horse that I actually got was my Christmas present. And so every year after that, she had a stocking, but she was the only one that was allowed to have a stocking.
Oh, so she was a special pony.
Because she was, exactly, because she was my horse.
Ah, gotcha.
So she's the only one that got a stocking.
Okay, now, the next question I have, this one's purely horse right here, because I've never owned a mountain horse breed, and I'm sure folks are curious, because it's getting to be winter a little further north in a big, big hurry.
Right.
And are mountain horses typically the wintertime fuzzballs, or are they,
yes.
or are they real fuzzballs?
Yes, and they are so cute. like some of them, you know, they'll get their winter coats, definitely. But some of them get just a little bit fuzzier than others, and they really do just like, they look like real, like, puffballs, and I think they're precious.
Now, are they easy keepers too? I always have the impression that they're pretty easy keepers, and in the wintertime, you don't have to break the bank feeding them. Yeah.
No. And obviously, you know, everybody, we buy our hay ahead of time, just like everybody else. They're pretty easy keepers. You know, our show horses, this is their break. So they really enjoy, you know, just, you know, on the nice cooler days, you know, obviously we'll turn some out and turn them out into round pens and some stuff like that. But, you know, this is their break time. So we try to keep it as relaxed as possible for our show horses. And they really love this time of the year.
So do they get wacky in the wintertime? I know there are a lot of horses out there that come wintertime, you're taking your life into your own hands, getting on their back without lunging them first.
Exactly. Yeah, we have some, and you know, we always said, oh, well, that horse is feeling good. That's how, you know, we used to describe it. But, you know, kind of when that colder weather hits, the horses, you know, they're kind of a little bit more amped up. So they definitely get a good 30, 45 minutes in the round pen before I would even consider hitting their bag. And if that's not enough, okay, you keep going. You wear yourself out. Because I am not chasing it with you.
That's funny. So if the big plans for the United Mountain Horse Association keep going, there won't be a winter break anymore. It's going to be showing year-round across the country.
We've got a lot of stuff going on this winter, and it's a great thing because obviously, you know, we're in this rebuilding period, which is awesome. But we have one more event, and then this is when we're going to start, you know, really getting down to the nitty-gritty. And as you all will find out later in the show with our guest Susan, she's going to be talking about what we're going to do over the winter months to get more people involved in more of our regional shows and things like that. And we'll learn more about that when we talk to Susan. But our last official event is October 24th through the 26th. So that's coming up really fast. And it's our Winchester Harvest Axe Ride. It's going to be our last Axe Ride of the year. And I've really enjoyed getting to work with all these Axe people, which is, they're so much fun and they're so laid back. And, you know, they just come and they ride and they have a good time. And that's all they're there for. So it's a great, you know, kind of relaxed setting. Whereas, you know, when we put on all of our shows during the spring and winter months, you know, obviously that's a little bit more high-paced atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So folks competing will obviously be doing the trail obstacle challenges. But for this one, since this is our last one, we're going to kind of vamp it up and stuff like that. So we're going to have a bonfire. We're going to have scavenger hunts, games, lots of food. And we think it's going to be a really just a great end of the year shebang to go out with. And also, I will tell everyone listening, if you are a UMH member, you will receive a free 30-day AXA trial membership, which is a great thing. So make sure you become a UMH member. And if you are interested in becoming a member, email us at our UMH office at UnitedMountainHorse@gmail.com and ask for the free coupon code. And I will tell you the deadline for this is October 22nd. So definitely make sure you visit the ACTA website or the United Mountain Horse website. Our Facebook page also that you can see and get those memberships in.
Cool. It is coming up fast. Now, this is probably a question we answered on a previous program, but I'm going to ask it again in case someone who is curious didn't get to hear the previous episode. To become a member of the United Mountain Horse Association, do you have to own a specific breed of horse?
No. You can become a member of United Mountain Horse and have not even laid eyes on a gated horse.
There we
go.
That's
fine.
There we go.
We will educate you.
We will educate you. Now, the shows that United Mountain Horse is going to be working so hard over the winter to improve and make better and expand, maybe get kind of give an overview again for folks who might not have heard it last time we talked about this. You show up at a United Mountain Horse show. There are classes that are breed-specific as well as non-breed-specific, or are they always a specific breed of mountain horse for each class?
All of our shows are pretty breed specific. So the only horses that you're going to see there are either registered American Gated, Kentucky Mountain Saddle Horse, or Rocky Mountain Saddle Horse. And that's about all you'll see at our shows.
So any one of those three?
Any one of those three. We are now opening it up to spotted mountain horses. So if you have a spotted mountain horse, go ahead, feel free to bring that out. We're looking for more participation in those classes. So if you have a spotted mountain horse, get that horse registered, and definitely we would love to have you all.
Cool. So
now, we do it at our show. We have four different divisions. We have Country Trail, Trail, Classic, and Park. So these are just different ways of going on the horse, and the main differences between those are their headset and the lift of their leg. And that's how they're judged. We have gender specific, so we'll put stallions kind of separate. Or we have classes where, you know, you'll have mares, geldings, and stallions. Mm-hmm. So we try to have a variety is what we do. Mm-hmm. And we like to keep our people guessing on, you know, we'll add some new classes every now and then. But we like to mix things up and have a variety of classes.
Cool. So it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. So what else do you guys have coming up? I know you guys just had a recent meeting and the whiteboard that I'm imagining on the front wall of this room must have just been filled with stuff.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And we are definitely trying to think of more ways to get people involved. And we have now came up with the UMH Resource Program. So, as you know, we will be planning over the winter months, like you said, our show season. We have an annual awards banquet that we are working on. So, that's our High Point Awards banquet that we have at the end of the year. And we hope that, you know, over this winter, we can all be very productive. Obviously, it's going to be busy, but we hope that, you know, the 2015 show season was just as great, if not better, than this season that we had. So, as of 2013... you know, many of us weren't sure if UMH was still going to be existing, but, you know, through the hard work and effort of so many people, this past show season was a great success. And, you know, if you all want to get involved, you know, we are, you know, blessed to have the people that we have, but we would love to have more volunteers. So if you all are wanting to get involved and help us out at United Mountain Horse, you know, that is definitely, you know, something that we would really appreciate. And also, one of the new things that we put in for the 2014 show season was we provided all youth 17 and under a completely free show season. And these numbers were actually tabulated, and we were proud to say that the UMH had 328 kids enter and complete classes totally free.
Wow.
And for this charge, this was a grand total of $32,273.42. This included entry fees, DQP fees, and this included each kid had a free stall at the show as well. So this is a great thing that UMH is doing. We're trying to get more kids involved because obviously, you know, like we've said before in past episodes, our focus is really on the youth. That's one of our main primary focuses just because they are the future of this breed.
Yeah, that's really great to encourage families to bring their children along and help reduce the financial stresses involved with bringing the kids. And by providing that extra stall, the kids can bring along their own show horse. They don't have to, you know, we can bring you along and you can show in a couple of classes, but you're going to have to ride someone else's horse or you're going to have to borrow one or something like that. And for a lot of youngsters, the magic of going to these horse shows is riding your very own, just like you talked about with the only Christmas stocking in the home for a horse. It was your horse.
Right.
That makes it extra special.
Oh, definitely. We have came up with several new committees. And we were looking, and we're still looking for people to volunteer for these committees. So I'm just going to go through just a rough list of some of the committees that we have came up with. First is our rules committee. This committee will be responsible for reviewing our rules and making changes to those rules and regulations. This will happen each year prior to the show season, and this will be out in enough time for people to, you know, make those changes and make those rules and become aware of them. This will also be in an advisory role to the board and other committee members and advise on matters pertaining to the rules and the regulations of United Mountain Horse. Now, our trail committee, this is for people who are going to be responsible for organizing and scheduling UMH-sponsored trail rides and educational events that include our trails that we have at the Kentucky Equestrian Center, those trail horses. Through this committee, we will also be partnering with AXA on some rides, and I think that this trail committee, I think, is going to be part of their issues is obviously safety on the trails. That's a really big issue, you know, keeping your horse and yourself safe. So I think that with this partnership with AXA, one of our educational events is going to be safety, which I think is a very important thing, and that's something that, you know, no matter how many times that you've been on a trail ride, I think obviously, we all need to be, you know, reminded of what could happen. And our other committee is our youth committee. I know, you know, in years past, our youth committee has kind of dwindled. And that's really sad to say. I was president of the youth committee the last year that we actually had a standing officer team. And I know it was a really great time. I had a great year that year. But this committee obviously will help develop programs for youth riders. We want to have fun with these youth. Obviously, that's a big thing. We want to encourage sportsmanship, and we also want to develop these kids' leadership skills. You know, obviously, that's what a lot of people are, you know, looking for in these kids. And, you know, horses can develop those leadership skills within you, which is a really great thing. Our membership committee, this committee will be kind of more of our marketing in a way, and this is to get people to become members so that we can increase those numbers. We have our newly professional trainers committee, and I know in the last show we talked about becoming a certified trainer and a certified breeder. That's one of our new programs that is actually in the making, which I think is a great thing. So trainers obviously play an important part in our association. So this committee allows those trainers to get together to develop some ideas about what the shows need, and it's just getting another perspective, which is really great. Our show development committee, this is the committee that will go before the board, and this is they will present rules and regulations pertaining to the shows and other sanctioned UMH events. Which is a really great thing. I think, you know, people obviously we're getting kind of ideas from every direction, which is a really great thing because I feel like sometimes, you know, ideas can be somewhat one-sided. So this is a great way to get everyone involved that is showing, which is a really great thing. But I will tell you this, for our show development committee, we are holding this committee to a minimum of 5 members. That is, you know, you have to have 5 members or more to keep this committee going. And on October 23rd at 7, there will be a meeting for anyone that is willing to be a part of this show development committee. All of these committee meetings are going to be held at the United Mountain Horse office, which is on the property where the Kentucky Equestrian Center is. So if anyone is interested in joining one of these committees, obviously email us at unitedmountainhorse@gmail.com to get some more information, and we would love to have anyone out that is willing to help.
So all of these committees that we're talking about are committees that are going to be working for United Mountain Horse Association as a whole, not just for the Kentucky area. So somebody who lives in Wisconsin and is passionate about mountain horses can participate and volunteer to help out with this kind of stuff.
Exactly. And we're also looking for, you know, if you feel like, well, I just, you know, committees aren't for me. Say that, you know, you're a type of person that, you know, wants to be more, you want to represent something. Talking about our regional aspect, we're looking for people to help, you know, promote those regions, set up horse shows within those regions. So if you feel like one of these committees isn't something that you're interested in, United Mountain Horse is also looking for people to be on our regional committees and our do some work with our regional shows as well. And so we have a lot of different outlets.
Yeah, we'll be talking here to Susan a lot more about that regional thing, won't we?
Exactly. And, you know, it's a great thing, you know, to have all these different committees just because, you know, like I said earlier, you're getting all that information from all areas, in a way, of the horse show.
Yeah, so this is a great idea. And the meetings are going to be held in Kentucky. Maybe someone could take a look at doing something like a go-to meeting or something like that so that from far reaches could still participate in the meeting and learn more about it and make it a little bit more welcoming for people who are way, way far away from Kentucky.
Exactly. And, you know, that was one of our things that, you know, not that we had trouble with, but we were really wanting to do because, you know, we want to market this mountain horse breed and we want to get it out there so that, you know, not only is this just a Kentucky thing, you know, we want to make this a United States thing. We want to make this a world thing. So definitely marketing this to different areas is going to be a great step in the right direction.
So again, I'm envisioning the great big giant dry erase board at this meeting at the United Mountain Horse Association. And one of the things that you guys have been working on is something that you're calling the Mountain Horse Resource Program. Tell me a little bit about that. That's really brand new.
Right. This is something brand new that we are just starting, and this is going to be developed over our winter months. So really, we wanted to focus on the mission of what United Mountain Horse wants to do. And this is to showcase the mountain horses and encourage people to own these type of horses, do breeding, get into training, do the trail riding, and do the showing of these mountain horses. And we want to provide this through the world. And we want to have an atmosphere that we want to bring people in, and we want to make it enjoyable for all people, no matter if you're new, old, just getting started, whatever. And obviously, you know, this mountain horse is native to Kentucky and has become a favorite throughout the United States just because of their temperament, their beauty, their athleticism, and that obviously that smooth four-beat gait. This registry, a mountain horse, is 28 years old, and during this time, many people have invested time, talent, passion to developing this breed. And, you know, many people are making a full-time living now just training, showing, and breeding these mountain horses. And, you know, obviously through promoting this breed, we're getting more and more interest. So what we want to do is we want to try to set ourselves apart, and we want to set these breeders and these trainers to a higher level since more people are starting to get interested. And over these past 28 years, you know, obviously there have been a lot of technological changes as well. So, you know, through the internet and social media, we have been able, this is, you know, what's marketed this horse in a way. And, you know, this is a great way for people that love mountain horses and that love this breed and love the people that are involved this is a way that we get to show people why we love this horse and why we love this people involved. And that's why we want more people to come in and experience that, just because it's a great way to meet some really, really amazing people. And also, you know, I always say, I think horses have a complete personality of their own. Now, some people look at me and they're like, they're a horse. You know what I mean? But, you know, as horse people, we get attached to horses. No matter if you've had that horse for a month, if that horse is yours or not. And I will tell you a story about that. When I was showing as a youth, one of my friends had this horse. Amazing horse. Amazing. Well, we were at a show and this horse colicked. And I cried. And my friend was like, well, you know, I have other horses to show. And I was done showing that day. This horse, who I did not own, who, you know, we rode in the same barn together when I was a juvenile. And I walked this horse in circles for 4 hours until the vet came. You know, I'm attached to that horse. I'm still attached to that horse, and I have no clue where that horse is. But, you know, it's just those friendships that you build through this organization that are so great. And we want, you know, obviously we want to build more friendships through this breed. So we really welcome new people. We love meeting new people. It's a great thing. Everybody thinks, you know, this association is set. And we really encourage, you know, new members and people like that. So we feel, you know, a mountain horse, that it is vital for these trainers and these farms and these breeders to kind of have a spotlight on them. So through this resource program, we are actually doing a certification program, and you will be certified as either a certified breeder or a certified trainer. And all of this will be posted on our website, which is unitedmountainhorse.com. And what this does is it puts these breeders and these trainers out in the public. It gets them noticed. We market their farms. We market their accomplishments, which is a really great thing. And also, I feel like this makes it easier for newer people to come in. You know, oftentimes you just don't know where to start. And this is a great way to get your feet wet. This is a great way to meet new people. A great way, you know, this kind of gives you options instead of, you know, kind of having like a deer in the headlight. Okay, like, I want a mountain horse, but who do I go to, you know? Right.
Now what? Yeah.
This gives you options of people that you can go to and people that you can learn about. And I'm not saying that number one on the list is who you need to go to.
Right.
You know, through this list, you're going to be able to meet these people, get to know them, learn their training philosophies and things like that. And then you can be able to, you know, find your horse, find a breeder, you know, find what programs you want, whether you want a show or you want a trail ride or some other things like that. And, you know, really what this makes United Mountain Horse, this is like a one-stop shop for everything.
One-stop shop, yeah. And it's also going to do something for you guys now, because as the mountain horse breeds, all of them, and there are so many that are united under this banner, it's going to help avoid what I call the Dalmatian syndrome. When 101 Dalmatians movie came out, everybody had to breed Dalmatians, and the breed as a whole was not the better for it. There were more of them, but what there were was not as good a quality. So that's going to do one thing. Because people can go there and you can see what the criteria are for becoming or for being on the website as one of the certified breeders or trainers. So that gives you a knowledge base. You know that they meet these minimum criteria. So that's going to do a lot, I think, for someone who, especially someone who's either new to gated horses and unsure how things work, because things are a little bit different in certain areas, or someone who's new to horses completely. It's going to give you that basic knowledge base of, we know these people have been certified and the United Mountain Horse Association has set up these guidelines, so I know I'm going to get this. That's a good place to start. And that, I think, is going to be very, very helpful for people. And it's going to be all in one place. It's going to be the same place where you can check out the registry information. You can check out what's going on horse show-wise, the same place you can find breeders and trainers and that sort of thing. It's going to be a great idea, and I can't wait to see how it pans out, because it's going to be online.
I know. And, you know, I'm with you. I can't wait to see how this pans out. And I hope we have a really good response to this. So this is definitely one of our biggest winter projects that we're focusing on, is as if we don't have enough. But, you know, we are really wanting to build this back up. So over this winter, our trainers and our breeders are going to have our opportunity to go through this certification program. And we actually want to have this up on the website by early spring. So this is definitely a big push that we're going for right now.
So why don't we take a little break, because I'm getting hoarse and I need to refill my water. We're going to take a break for a little song here. And when we get back, we'll be chatting with Susan Beal.
My teachers tried to warn me, stay away from that powerful stuff. My dad said, son, if you get started, you won't ever be able to stop. Well, look at me now, I'm doing fine. I'm happy to admit. I don't believe that hype, you know I got a good life, but they say that I'm addicted. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well, I'm really not. I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I was hooked on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. Well, I could blow all my money and break all my bones, but I would never hurt anyone. Always been the kind to be in control. I tell you that in my defense. Cause the kind of Bronx I've been drawn lately's got me questioning my common sense. Addiction's a form of weakness. I know that to be true. You're gonna pay for a habit. I pray I don't have it. Just between me and you. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well I'm really not. I could quit it anytime I want. Even if I was hooked on rodeo, at least I'm not addicted to liquor or drugs. It's broken bones and bruises and self-induced abuses that'll never hurt anyone. Down to spend some more time at home. I buy my girl a diamond ring so she don't have to be alone. I ran into M. Richie the other day. I asked him if he guessed the itch. I said, it's 20 years since you've been on a bull. I guess you finally got it licked. Then his eyes went wild and he started to shake. He said it hits him every spring. I said, thanks, Eb, you're not helping me any. Now I got a Hakadime ring. Addicted to driving down the road, riding Bronx and having fun. Addicted, well, I really thought that I could quit it anytime I want. Jonesing for a rodeo, might as well be liquor or drugs. Well, I could blow all my money and break all my bones, and I would never get enough. Well, I blew all my money, and that ain't fun, cause I just can't give it up.
And that was Jared Rogerson's Addicted. And you can get his music at his website, jaredrogerson.com. And Jackie, why don't you introduce our guest?
Susan is from North Vernon, Indiana, and she is the owner of Leading Way Farms. She has recently come on board with United Mountain Horse to help us redevelop our regional representative and our show program. So this is just another one of the many projects that we have going on at UMH over the winter. So good morning, Susan, and welcome to our show.
Good morning.
So, unlike most of our guests, you know, that we've had on the show, we're interested to hear about you and your family and your venture into the mountain horse world, because a lot of the people that we have on this show are trainers, exhibitors, so people like that that we have physically at our show. So this is great to kind of have someone kind of in a regional perspective and kind of outside of the Kentucky, Tennessee area. So first of all, just a quick overview of how you actually got started into the mountain horses.
Okay, I grew up with Shetland ponies as a child, and then as I grew older, I got quarter horses of my own, and I came upon a magazine, Horse Illustrated, and on the cover, it had a chocolate with a flaxen mane and tail on the front cover. I had never seen that color before, and I thought, oh, I have to have a horse like that. I have to have that color. So they also had a feature article, and I read the article, and it talked about, you know, the gated horses, and in this area, there are not very many at all gated horses. So I read about it, and after reading about it, I thought, oh, not only is the color perfect, I have fibromyalgia and arthritis. I got to get a horse like that. So I searched on the internet, and I went looking at different farms in Kentucky to buy a mountain horse. And then come to find out, a friend of mine, my best friend that I had worked with for 25 years, we were taking a walk one day, and she was saying, now, what kind of a horse have you been looking for? What are you looking for? I said, well, I'm looking for these gated mountain horses that come from Kentucky and Tennessee. And she said, well, you know, I think maybe my brother has those horses. So come to find out, he did. And we went down and looked, and that's how I came upon the mountain horses.
That is so cool. And it's great to, like, see people, you know, outside, because I feel like everybody that I run into here in Kentucky, and, you know, I know some people down in Tennessee, I feel like all they have is gated horses. So I find it very, very refreshing to know that, you know, there are gated horses outside of two states. And also, you know, obviously we talked last show about one of our horses that just got sent to Israel, which is really great. So not only are our horses, you know, in the United States, but these horses are becoming worldwide. And, you know, that's what we try to do with our regional program. As you know, we try to promote these horses across the board, across all states, and we really are trying to do this on a world scale. And as you know, Susan, like many organizations, the UMH and the horse show industry has taken a really big economic hit, and a lot of the regional shows have dwindled with people just not interested, or, you know, participation numbers are down. And, you know, obviously you have been brought in for a rebuilding and a redirecting period. And, you know, UMH is obviously within a rebuilding period now. And, you know, obviously we've seen a turn, especially this year within United Mountain Horse, that we're making a turn for the better. And I've been told through some people that you are helping out with recruiting and regrouping all of our regional representatives list and those leaders. So can you go a little bit more into detail about the regions that are also in this rebuilding period? And just in case, you know, if there's anybody listening, you know, maybe they really just haven't heard about, you know, mountain horses within their region and who that they can get in contact with.
Yes, I have spoken with Valerie and Karen Massey. And I'm very interested, and the reason that I have gotten so interested is the same thing happened to our farm as a lot of farms, the economy. And we used to go to shows like 7 to 8 years ago down in Kentucky, but for us to go to those shows, it's like the closest that we've found is 3 hours. We've driven as far as 4.5 hours to participate in these shows. I got started with the mountain horses about 9 years ago. So for the past 5 years, we have not been attending shows because they're so far away. At one point, there was some regional shows in our area which we attended, but they have all dwindled, like you said. So I have contacted some people here in the central region, and I have a list of all the different regions. And this winter, I'm going to work on that and try to get the other regions involved. And we also have started at our farm, we've started a new corporation called Circle C Saddle Club. And we are letting the youth join for free, just like you did at your club, and hoping that that will promote more children. And I will let those children borrow some of my horses, and we will raise funds so that they will be able to possibly come to some of your shows, and hoping to even have a show this spring in our community.
That's great. And I know, I think it's, do we have 9 regions? Is that correct?
Yes, there's 9 regions. I have those regions written down, but I don't have those with me right now. But I did contact a lady in Michigan, and she is extremely excited about helping me to get this going, at least in this East Central region. Valerie is in the works of sending me some materials in the mail so that I can start getting people in this area to join the United Mountain Horse Association and then to also join our regional club.
That's awesome. And, you know, for those listeners out there, if you all are interested in finding more about this, I know that this stuff will definitely be up on the UMH website. And if you all do have mountain horses and find, you know, a contact person in your region, our shows are UMH sanctioned, and we also have High Point Awards. Not only do we have High Point Awards for our shows here in Kentucky, but we also have regional High Point Awards. And what these awards do is you'll accumulate points over the year, depending on your placing. And what this does, it really rewards the owners and the exhibitors for showing their horses. This also shows that you are following the rules and the guidelines correctly. Part of the big part that you were talking about with the youth, this really promotes youth involvement, sportsmanship, and also helps the youth, develop their showmanship in a way. This also provides a place for mountain horses to be promoted in different areas. And Susan, I know that you know all of this, but we know that you have offered to become the representative of the East Central region. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. The East Central region, where does that cover?
I believe it covers Indiana, Ohio, Michigan, Kentucky, which I thought was weird that would be in this region.
right.
It's a big
Ontario.
Region. I have it written down here in front of me.
It
goes north to south, right up through the center of the country.
Regions.
It's right up through the center of the country, north to south. Yeah, from Quebec all the way south to Kentucky is the southernmost state that you guys cover. It's very interesting that you guys have
Illinois.
Broken this.
Yes.
Yeah, you have broken it up to make it more manageable, because that's one of the unique challenges that horse folks have in the United States is our country is so large, and United Mountain Horses, even covering Canada, for example, Quebec is in your region. It's so large,
right.
It's almost like different countries altogether when you compare it to how things are managed in Europe. So it's great that you're breaking this down, making it more manageable, finding out what the needs and wants are of the folks that are in your localized region that way, because different disciplines within the United Mountain Horse shows are going to be more popular in some areas than others. Some areas might have a very strong Western contingent. Others areas might have a very strong trail contingent or showmanship contingent. So that's really great. You're going to be able to gather that information locally and help these regional shows thrive by bringing to the local folks that are within a comfortable driving distance exactly what they're looking for.
Yes.
And also going off that, Jennifer, you know, I'm from Kentucky. Obviously, you can tell by my accent. A lot of our listeners, if they're repeating listeners, obviously you all know that I am from Kentucky. And, you know, I can't really relate to showing out of state, because most of the times when I did show, when I was showing, it was always I was in state. I think I showed maybe one time in Tennessee, maybe. You know, obviously I would go to those shows, and, you know, obviously I was young, and I really didn't know the cost of, you know, taking horses, leaving on Thursday, coming back on Sunday. Obviously, you have to have, you have gas, you have hay and feed and stuff like that. And I think, you know, sometimes people really forget about, you know, just how much cost and how much time and how much effort that goes into it. And we know, you know, it's really important to us in the mountain horse industry to get these horses and promote them outside of Kentucky so, you know, that the world can see them. And obviously through this rebuilding process, that's what we're doing. So, Susan, if you don't care to go ahead and kind of elaborate on how, you know, promoting and getting more people to more of these regional shows, how cost and everything fits into part of that equation, and how you all plan on kind of promoting these shows within those regions.
Yes, well, like I had said, we 7 years ago, we did travel to several shows. We went to Tennessee. We went to a lot in Kentucky. But it just got so costly, and when the gasoline prices raised, it was just almost impossible because we would have to get a motel room and, you know, like you said, leave on Thursday or Friday, come back on Sunday, and by the time you paid for all the food and gas and expenses, it just got too costly for us to do that. But I think if we could get some regional shows, even if there was only two shows a year in the different regions, we may possibly able to build enough people that will want to come to the world show that the world show could just be, you know, enormous someday, is what I see, where you have more people competing than just the Kentucky, you know, the people that live in Kentucky. And not that it matters to me who competes, but our children love to do that. And it just gets so hard when you have to travel that far.
Definitely. And I agree. I remember, you know, years ago when the World Show was held at Harrodsburg. And We used to have those regional classes set aside for those people at the World Show. And I know that there was a lot of participation in those classes. But, you know, as the years went on and the economy just got worse and, you know, things started getting more expensive, Those numbers dwindled. To the point of where we now don't even have those classes. Mm-hmm. So I definitely think that this is a great thing that you all are doing. And I know us at United Mountain Horse and everyone in the mountain horse world really appreciate you guys and really appreciate the time and the effort that you all put in.
Well, I really appreciate the opportunity to be able to bring my grandchildren because, you know, it's hard. They don't have a lot of income, you know, young family, and they love horses. And it's two boys, two grandsons, and I have two younger grandsons. And they love to come. And everyone was so nice, and we felt so comfortable and welcome at the World Show that we came to. And we also went to the show in Louisville, Kentucky. Which we are only an hour and a half from Louisville, Kentucky, so that was wonderful. And you know, the reason that we got back involved was because you offered the youth to be able to have their stalls for no fee and their entries for no fee, because if you try to travel that far and also pay for all those things, it just became economically impossible for us, and we really appreciate everyone that worked hard and made that such a success.
I know a lot of people, you know, a lot of people really don't see the behind the scenes of, you know, all the hard work that goes into actually putting on these shows, getting those members out to show and really, you know, pushing this breed. And I know from experience of being on kind of, I guess, the behind the scenes, you know, it's always great when people, you know, thank you for that, you know, all the hard work that you put in. And, you know, it is great when you get recognition. So I, in turn, want to say thank you. Yes, I know, you know, Karen and Val and my mother, Julie, who puts on the shows, and myself,
they were
and my mom's
wonderful.
Staff, I know that they all work really hard, and I, you know, sometimes I tell my mom, I feel like you don't get thanked enough, and I always try to tell her thank you. So it's a great thing. But Susan, thank you so much for joining us today here on the Horse Radio Network, and I would like to give, you know, say good luck, and we all hope at United Mountain Horse that you get a lot of people signed up. And if anyone's listening, if you all would like to become a regional representative, please email us at the office at UnitedMountainHorse@gmail.com. Thank you again, Susan.
So far from winter, the grass is green. Hard to imagine that we will need to feed the horses so slick and round, but they're gonna need it when snow's on the ground. Hay in time, hay in time, making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Calling all your favorites, cause it's haying time. So call up your family, call all your friends, and we'll drink a cold one when the day ends. And when we stack that final bale, we'll celebrate and know we earned that ale. Hay in time, making hay while the sun shines. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Calling all your favors, cause it's hay in time. If you are a farmer, you know it won't make you rich. It's hard work, that's no lie. But the satisfaction at the end of days like this, no amount of money can buy. Pick it. Sweating bullets, I swear it's 99. Call up all the neighbors, the givers and the takers, calling all your favors, cause it's haying time.
And in case you hadn't guessed, that was Haying Time. And that's done by Mary Ann Kennedy, and you can find all of Mary Ann Kennedy's music at maryannkennedy.com. And now, what is this, Jackie, I hear about the Kentucky Equestrian Center being a party city? What's this, a party place? What's this?
Yes, yes. So my little brother just recently had a birthday, and we decided that we were going to take over the Kentucky Equestrian Center. And we had a scavenger hunt and, you know, stuff like that. But we also had a Nerf war. So, you know, like the fun little Nerf guns that all the little boys love to play with?
Yeah, I have one.
Yeah. Well, it was an adults versus kids Nerf war. And I was on the adult team, obviously. And, you know, I was really pumped up because I'm like, yeah, you know, adults are going to, we're going to win this. You know, like, we got all these little kids, like, you know, three adults, we'll take him. No, the little kid, no, we got beat. Little kids took us over, but, you know, the Kentucky Equestrian Center, obviously, you know, it has equestrian in it, and you think just of horses, but this can be used for a variety of things. Obviously, it can be used for community events. It's a gorgeous setting for a wedding, because all of that background where it's adjacent to like the mountains of Eastern Kentucky. Family reunions can be held there. Clinics, if anyone's wanting to have a clinic, this is a great facility. We have a lot of space. It can hold a lot of people. So definitely think of that. But the Kentucky Equestrian Center is located in Winchester, Kentucky. It is adjacent to the Burton Combs Mountain Parkway. It's gorgeous 70 acres. And this is also a historic part of the Indian Oil Fields Park, which is really cool. It's got a lot of history behind it, which is great. This property is only about 45 minutes from Lexington. This is a very convenient space because now our ramps are open. Thank goodness.
Yahoo!
I mean, obviously, if you have an event coming up and you want a big space that can fit a lot of people, come to the Kentucky Equestrian Center and we've got you covered. But if you have any more questions about using this Kentucky Equestrian Center, definitely check out KentuckyEquestrianCenter.org. This is a great way to see the facility, see what we have, look at it, see if it's perfect for your event coming up. We also have a Facebook page for KEC. So look up Kentucky Equestrian Center KEC and you will be able to find us on Facebook. But the Kentucky Equestrian Center is obviously, that's like the hub of UMH. That's where UMH is located. And we also have RV hookups with water and electric and stuff like that. You can also dry camp if you want to. So we've pretty much got all kinds of options. If you all want to stay in hotels, anything like that, Winchester, Mount Sterling is a 15-minute drive.
Well, thanks very much to the Kentucky Equestrian Center for sponsoring the United Mountain Horse Show. And this is going to be the last United Mountain Horse special Hit'em episode you hear for a while. So thanks, Jackie, for putting in all of your hard work to help us out with this in between your college classes.
No problem. I've really enjoyed this. This has been such a great time. And I really appreciate, you know, the folks at United Mountain Horse that gave me this opportunity. You know, obviously, I've been blessed. And this is part of what I want to do with my career. So this is obviously great practice for that. And I really appreciate Jennifer, you and Glenn and all your hard work, and thanks for, you know, keeping this light and sun. So I just wanted to say thank you to everybody that has been a part of this.
And you can find links to today's guests on the show notes at horsesinthemorning.com. And you can follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search Horses in the Morning. And be sure to listen to all of your favorite shows on the Horse Radio Network by downloading the free Horse Radio Network app for Android or iPhone. Go to your app store and search Horse Radio Network. You never have to miss an episode. And you can tune in tomorrow, and Glenn and Jamie will be back live with the requisite Truth is Stranger Than Fiction horsey headlines and a blockbuster group of really bad ads.